Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He was great. Paul George was great.
Was he efficient?
Yeah.
I got the box.
I mean,
there.
He wasn't peak efficiency, but he was
9 for 25.
9 for 25 is not great. 4 for 12 from 3
That's
is not
the key.
Great.
4 for 12 because they shoot a lot of threes and Westbrook was off as well.
But Westbrook and Ferguson combined to go 0 for 10. That's from 3. Yeah. That's the problem.
Your backcourt going 0 for 10 is no bueno.
Westbrook's 2 for 16 on the night. And this is something that came up a little bit before the show. Because you walked in and you were like, great game.
I loved it.
I didn't love it. And maybe it's because you are more truly a Warrior fan than me.
Yeah, I was a fan as a kid. I'm a lifelong fan.
I like the Warriors. I cover the Warriors, and it's certainly generally more interesting.
And you like watching
when
the
they
Warriors
win,
for the most
and
part.
I like great basketball. So I love watching the Warriors, and I do root for the Warriors, broadly speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not like a Warrior diehard.
You're not
so,
a honk.
Right. So although I like to see them win, I would much rather see them win a competitive basketball game. I get very little out of a game like last night, especially because in addition to just not being very competitive, I'm not a huge Russell Westbrook fan, okay? I'm not.
What?
Sorry.
Not a fan of the game, the person?
The whole package.
All things Russell.
I'm not a huge fan of the whole presentation.
You don't like the capri pants? The tangerine capri pants?
I mean, there's just some things. Like, and I'm not talking about the Utah incident when I say this. I'm talking about stuff like after the game last night and during the game last night. I think for a ultra-aggressive, chesty, talkative guy, he's awfully sensitive. And being sensitive is fine, but don't be a hypocrite. Anyway, there's a lot about Russell that I don't love, but I do love watching him when he's playing well.
Yeah, no
he's
doubt.
One of the most exciting players in basketball.
Doubt.
One of the most exciting players I've ever watched. And also, a multiple All-Star who's likely headed to the Hall of Fame in the sport I love the most. And I don't love watching him be a laughing stock. I truly don't. I tweeted this last night. He was literally laughable in that game. The Warriors were laughing at him for an entire half of basketball. Jim Barnett, I believe, was on our air with Tim Roy saying, quote, why is he still shooting? And the Warriors were leaving him open anywhere outside of 18 feet.
Yeah.
Wide open, and he was clanking them. 7 big clanks.
They clearly don't think he has any sort of mid-range game whatsoever. Because that's what they were giving him.
Well, it's more the long range they were giving him,
I mean, they.
But he got some mid-range, too.
It was clear. You could tell that was the plan.
The plan was don't let him get to the hoop.
Yep.
And it basically worked.
Mm-hmm.
And Klay was great.
Again.
And Andre was great. I mean, the Warriors were great, and you're right. That part is fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather see them be great and beat a Thunder team at its best. And that was not, I don't think anybody would argue that was an effective high-level Thunder performance, because it just was not. And I talked about this with Damon last week. This is part of the problem with the Thunder. And for much of the year, I did think they were the biggest threat in the West, in as much as there is one.
All right.
But the problem is, this is what I expect from Russell Westbrook when they really need a win. And I know this is not that. This is not playoffs. But this was a home game. This was a chance. Every night is a chance for the Thunder to make a real impact on their playoff seeding.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like this was one to trick off as, whatever.
Right.
And I don't believe Russell Westbrook came in with anything less than 100% intensity and focus. And he still damn near had a triple-double. But he was also minus 18 and 2 for 16 from the field.
Jeez. A near triple-double and minus 18. That guy has somehow made the triple-double. I mean, his triple-doubles are ho-hum now, right?
He makes, well, what he does that I'm not sure I've ever seen before, except that one time Ricky Davis tried to bounce it off the backboard to himself for the extra rebound. He makes triple-doubles feel more selfish than most.
Yeah, I agree. When you feel like you see them gunning for the triple-double, remember Draymond did that? Draymond went and he said he'd never do it again. He realized after the game what a selfish, lame move it was. But he went triple-double hunting, and the basketball purist in him
And in fact, Steve Kerr specifically encouraged him to go triple-double hunting. Right. And I think both of them afterwards
regretted it.
Felt a little icky about it. And look.
Who are you, Derek Carr? Icky.
I don't.
Sucky.
I don't think they really have to. I think it's, barring it damaging something more serious, your competitive edge, barring it really causing you a problem, I don't have a problem with stat chasing. Truly, the 73-win season was stat chasing.
Yeah.
Because we've seen how the Warriors would rest their players if they hadn't been going for that sort of regular season goal, and they got it, and we don't need to relitigate whether it cost them down the stretch or not, but ultimately, that was stat chasing, and everybody was cool. Everybody wanted to see that. So it's not that going after a statistic is fundamentally wrong. It's just at what cost? And it feels like Westbrook doesn't consider the cost.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. There is a fundamental difference, though. The team going for 73 wins, it's more... I mean, Russell Westbrook is going out to accomplish something for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, but I truly believe he thinks he's doing what's best for his team.
Right, and KD disagrees, and so KD got out of there when he had a chance.
That's right. That's right. Paul George agrees, though, and that seems to be working okay, yep. So we'll see. But I do want to ask the people out there, after last night, first of all, if you want to get in and get to it with us.
People.
Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. The phone lines are open at 888-957-9570. And I ask you, who could bother the Warriors? The Nuggets don't seem to be a problem. Two easy wins the last two times you played them, I believe.
Not the best matchup for Denver.
Not a good matchup for Denver. Now, we thought it was a better matchup for Houston and the Thunder. And after these last two games, doesn't really look like it anymore. So, who can bother the Warriors? Or are we back to nobody? Are we back to the place we were at when the season started and we said, nobody can touch them. It's another title or bust.
Right. Can we rewind to the Rockets game real quick? I got a question for you.
Okay.
Clint Capella, we were told, was going to make it tough on the Warriors because while Kevon Looney can switch out, Boogie can't, supposedly. Bogut is kind of redundant in terms of Boogie's defense. Did that answer the Clint Capella question for you? I was concerned about him at one point this year, and I'm not now.
I will answer that question when we come back.
That's a tease.
That's a radio tease. Is Clint Capella still a concern? I'm Matt Kolsky. He's Michael Urban. You want to get into it now. 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. After you just watched them beat the Rockets and the Thunder, who can bother the Golden State Warriors on 95.7 The Game?
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
We are back. Matt Kolsky and Michael Urban. And Urbs asked me a question right before the break that we will get to in just a second. Also, to your phone calls, 888-957-9570. Who can bother the Warriors now? After you watched them beat Houston and the Thunder without KD. And, of course, they've taken care of Denver pretty easily this year.
Is it the mighty, mighty Bostons?
Well, I was going to say, before I answer your question about Houston, I need to ask you a question, and there is a right answer. Who's your favorite Mighty Mighty Boston?
Grumpy?
No, it's the dancing guy. It's the guy who dances and plays no instrument. That's the right answer. That is your favorite Mighty Mighty Boston.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. All right. The question is, who can bother the Warriors? And a corollary to that question, which you just asked me, why don't you reiterate for the people?
Which one?
The Clint Capela question.
Are we done with Clint? Are we done with being concerned about Clint Capela? Because at the start of the year, I was concerned. After the first game, a little bit more concerned. My concern level kept rising, and now it's way back down to the bottom.
Because of what you saw on Wednesday night.
One game, and that makes me a front runner.
Well, but no, but that's the thing with the Warriors, is if that one game is the game where we perceive, oh, they cared.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's the one that we believe, right?
Is that your perception, Matt?
To a certain degree. Now, I would just point out, in that game, Clint Capela did have 13 points and 13 rebounds, and he shot 6 of 9 from the field in 40 minutes and was plus 3. So I would say he still did some things.
But while watching, without knowing the numbers, did you feel like he was a major impact on that game?
The concern we've had is basically, if you have your starters in there, Clint Capela is an athletic mismatch for DeMarcus Cousins and will sort of run circles around him and potentially dominate the offensive glass. He did not. He had one offensive rebound in 40 minutes, and DeMarcus Cousins had the best game of his Warriors career. In fact, DeMarcus Cousins in that win against Houston was the only member of the starting lineup to have a positive plus-minus. And to answer your question, as far as my eyes go, instead of seeing Clint Capela run circles around DeMarcus Cousins, I saw Clint Capela overmatched by the bigger and more skilled Cousins.
Right.
And I think that's the thing. If it's the DeMarcus Cousins we've known for his career, who's bigger and more skilled and a little slower, but still pretty darn impressive physically, I'm not worried about Clint Capela at all. The question is, how often do we get that boogie, and how much of it? Because I think a lot of it, I think the answer is a lot of it. How much of it is about 2 days off? Because he looked just as spry at the beginning of the Thunder game, I thought.
Agreed. How much do you think of it is that he hears everything that we talk about and we hear as far as Clint Capela being a problem?
I'm sure he hears some of that, but I also just think,
I think he got jack sky high for Clint Capela.
Maybe, but I think Boogie has been pretty sky high for all 21 games he's played.
Yes.
He had to sit a year. He is fired up to be out there, period.
I don't think he's ever going to take basketball for granted again.
I don't think so, and he certainly doesn't look like it now, and he seems to be having a ton of fun and playing loose.
He's as happy as a miserable-looking guy can be.
Well, whatever. That's his face. And the thing about DeMarcus is, if he has the rest and his body feels good and he's playing like this, we never would have asked the Capela questions in the first place. True. Because even if he is a little more explosive, DeMarcus is 5 times the player he is. It's not even close. Let's go to Robin in San Francisco. Robin, who do you think is the biggest threat for the Warriors out west?
I was going to say Houston. I'm a diehard Warriors fan, but I want to present this to you. I have a theory that, you know, a team can only win for so long before they lose. I think that's kind of what happened to Houston. I also think that it's good to lose a game because you don't want to slump when the Warriors are constantly winning at the wrong time. Also, with the OKC game, they were all just flat, and the Warriors are just flat. I mean, they left Paul George open. He just didn't hit the shots. That's a lot of times with the Warriors. So my question to you guys is, for the Warriors to play like they did consistently, even though KD wasn't in the game, and I'm not saying that it's better without him, what do you think the Warriors have discovered in terms of those matchups with KD out of the lineup? What do you see on the floor? Do you think that Marcus spreads the ball, the floor spread more? What do you think the dynamic and strategic is in terms of the starting lineup against these two teams that if they weren't on a winning streak, if they were not flat, that the Warriors could possibly sustain that type of play? Because I think that's more of the question for me. And then lastly, where did Paul George have a great game? Please explain that to me, because he always disappears. He might be playing great this season, but if you look at his totality body of work, he's might be inconsistent. He did not have a great game.
He didn't have a great game, Robin. You're right. He didn't have a great game. He had a much better game than Russell Westbrook, which is probably what I should have said. He was fine. He did have 29 points and 13 rebounds. So, you know.
Minus 17.
Which is better than the rest of the starting lineup. So the point is, which is to say, when he was in there and they weren't, the Thunder were better.
Right.
But he didn't have a great game. She's right. Robin's right. Paul George was fine. Paul George was fine. Russell Westbrook was terrible. That's what that game was last night. To answer the other question, without Kevin Durant, and there's some text about this too, 510, Dubs play better without KD. And Robin didn't say that. She just asked a question. But 510 says, Dubs play better without KD. They don't have the offensive cushion, so it forces them to play more focused on D. I don't necessarily think those two things are causally related. I think in these two games, without Kevin Durant, they played more focused defense. I also think some of their most focused defense, not only in a single game, but over long stretches, over the past 3 years, has come with Kevin Durant in the lineup. The other thing I see is the ball moving a ton more.
Yes, that's the big one for me.
There's two things. There are two reasons I observe for that, for me. The first is DeMarcus Cousins. When you post up DeMarcus Cousins as opposed to Kevin Durant, the odds that the ball then moves on to another player are at least three times as high. And that is not necessarily a knock on Kevin Durant, because almost all of those post looks are good shots for him. But when DeMarcus is that post focus of the offense, the ball goes in and out and in and out, and stuff happens, mm-hmm. and guys move, and they move around Boogie. When it goes to Kevin in the high post or sort of wide on the wing posting up, everybody clears out and he goes to work. It's a viable option. He's that good.
Yeah.
But it's the combination of, A, DeMarcus moving the ball out of the post, and the other thing that I see is, I think, and this is not Kevin Durant's fault either, but I think his teammates, the other guys on the team, when he's in there, are all too often willing to take the outlet of let Kevin go to work.
Totally.
I don't think he's demanding the ball in the post constantly to the detriment of the team. I think the team is too often willing to settle for Kevin Durant's one-on-one offense because, frankly, it's pretty exceptional. And that's not settling too far down. Mm-hmm. But clearly they're better when they move the ball. Now, if you're going to say they play better without KD, here's the problem for me. They play best when they move the ball with KD. We've seen it. It's unbeatable basketball.
Totally.
When they play that way, they might be the best team of all time. When they move the ball with the five all-stars, now we haven't quite seen that level with Boogie over a long stretch, but with the four all-stars, when they moved the ball and played tough defense, they looked like the greatest team ever. When they do it without Kevin Durant, they're still really good. They still are probably the best team in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
But with Kevin Durant, they're definitely better. Period. They have to play this way.
Going back to the ball movement issue, one thing that I've noticed is, look, it's a great thing to have a guy Boogie's size be able to take the ball down, rebound, and bring the ball up the floor by himself, right? But I don't want him to do it.
That crossover spit, why not?
I don't want him to do it as often as he does when for whatever reason, he doesn't do it as often when KD's not playing. You would think it would be the other way around.
I don't know, but I'll tell you, when I saw him do that, he did that in both the Rocket and Thunder games, and in both cases,
crazy.
It totally neutralizes the big guys we were worried about.
Yeah,
Clint Capella and Steven Adams can't guard Boogie in the open floor at all, even if they're better athletes.
But I think the reason a lot of Warriors fans, present company included, were so excited about them getting DeMarcus is that they had somebody that they could establish on the low block to further stretch the defense, and he spent more time. I think the ball moves better when he's down on the block.
Yeah, the ball moves pretty well whenever it goes through DeMarcus Cousins. From what I've watched his whole career, but especially these last 21 games, whether he gets it at the top of the key or in the post, he makes the right basketball play. And you know what? KD did that 85% of the time the first year, probably 70% of the time last year, and maybe 65% of the time this year. And I don't think that's his choice. I think that's the team being increasingly willing to settle. And that is not on KD, but it is something that happens when he's there. Let's go to Pablo in Los Angeles. What's up, Pablo?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to say, to be honest, the Houston Rockets, even though they had a lot to win for this last game, I don't think it was them at their A game. And that's sort of what we're waiting for in the playoffs. But I think if both teams are at their best, I think it's more of a question of who makes more mistakes in the playoffs to win, essentially. I'm pretty sure they're going to end up in the finals again. But I think the Rockets would be the biggest threat. And just a quick note, I don't know if you guys saw today, but LeBron was sitting in the corner, and he's just a mess. Just random note, but I that really popped up to me today about him sitting in the corner again. But yeah, have a nice day, guys.
All right, so Pablo, when you say the Rockets, you'd rather see the Rockets at their A game, don't you have to give the Warriors credit for them not being at their A game? I mean,
I
think we think the other team just struggled. Yeah, they struggled because the Warriors were committed and engaged like they haven't been very frequently this year.
I don't know that the Rockets did struggle. Now, yesterday, the Thunder struggled.
Big time.
The Rockets got beat. Chris Paul was 7 for 12,
and that's
24
kind of my point.
Points. Yeah. 6 rebounds, 3 assists. James Harden, 29 points, 10 assists. He was 2 for 12 from 3, but let me read you his last 5 games. 3 for 11, 2 for 12, 3 for 9, 3 for 15, 3 for 11. That's what he does. He's been shooting like that from 3 for a while, and he fixes his percentage by getting hot and going 8 for 18 one night, but James Harden shoots a lot of 3s and oftentimes misses a lot of them. So that's, I'm not sure that it's fair to say, well, that's an off night for him. That's a relatively typical night. 29 points, 10 assists on 2 for 12 3-point shooting. That's not so out of character.
Right. And you know, Pablo
Eric Gordon, 6 for 12, 17 points, chipped in. Clint Capella, 13 and 13. Like, that is who the Rockets are. And the Warriors are better, even without Kevin Durant. That's
right.
What I think happened.
And Pablo said, you know, he wants to see both teams at their best. I think you mentioned early in the show, you want to see the best players playing at their best. We all want to see that. I think what these past two games did, at least for me, it made it really clear that when the Warriors have their A game, it doesn't matter what the other team has.
I think that remains
the Warriors are going to take
true.
Them down.
And I think that might, I don't think it's a smart conversation to talk about, are the Warriors better without Kevin Durant?
That's a ridiculous conversation.
Because like I said, if they play great without Durant and poorly with Durant, then yeah, in that case, they're better without Kevin Durant. But that's
not the case.
Right. What I do think is an interesting question is, are the Warriors without Kevin Durant still the best team in basketball?
That's a good one.
Because I think they're certainly in the conversation. Let's go to Letty in San Rafael. There it is. What's up, Letty?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
It's so funny because I totally agree with you. I think that they play great without Kevin, and then they play phenomenal with Kevin. And a lot of it has to do, I think he brings a level of confidence when he's on the court with them. I think that's one of the things that's different. I get so tired of hearing people. I think the reason they say that they play better without him is because they think that he's not going to stay with us.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows if he is or if he isn't. I think, unfortunately, one of the things that we have done as fans or anything has not made him feel like he belongs here, because every year it's a question of whether he's staying or going because of his short-term contract. And so I don't think that, and I think that does have something to do that plays psychologically with a player, even though they're professionals and all, you know, all that goes with that. I think it does play a game with them in their head of not feeling like they're really, like, is he really a Warrior? Because we question his, is he going or is he staying? It's so ridiculous, as opposed to just enjoying while he's here and not, you know, just assume that he's staying.
Letty, you kind of started to say that some of this is the fans' fault, but then you backed off.
I don't think she said it's the fans' fault. I think she said reasonably part of what's happening here is fans are preparing themselves.
I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, and I think that's true. I think that's only natural. If you think someone's going to leave you, no, I dumped you first.
I was just going to say, if you know your girlfriend's breaking up with you on Monday, you're going to call her Sunday night and shut it down. I win.
To the texter who is wasting all of our time and space on the text line, insisting that there were only three all-stars on the team, let's just call it in the last 2 or 3 years. Cool? Great. There's 4 or 5 all-stars on the team. I understand only 3 of them made it this year. Seems a stupid nitpick to me. 415 texter says, let's assume what you're saying about KD is correct, which I think it is. Then why can't they make Cousins the focus of the second team offense, a la David West? I think that's exactly what they're going to do. And I think part of the problem has been they hadn't quite seen this DeMarcus totally until the last few games, maybe 3 of the last 5 or so. And when I talked to Kerr on Friday, I asked him specifically about that, because what he'd been saying, and maybe we can find this sound, guys. I don't know if there's already a cut of it in the system, but we were talking about the fact that he, over post game on Wednesday at least, had said, I think we found something with DeMarcus.
Yeah.
And I think we found it because Kevin was out. And what he was saying essentially was, running more offense through Boogie in the post was a good thing for the team, and not only led to a great game for DeMarcus, but also a better flow overall for the entire team.
Mm-hmm. When it's run through him on the block.
Right. And the question I asked was, okay, but is that something you've learned that you can actually apply once you do have Kevin? And Kerr said yes. And basically, I think that is the plan. The idea is, yeah, we're going to do more running the offense through the post with DeMarcus when Kevin's not on the floor. Also, specifically, when Draymond's not on the floor. Because when those two guys are on the floor, you have basically your 3 and 4 who are great ball handlers, offense initiators, all that stuff, in addition to Steph Curry and whoever else is playing a guard mm-hmm. position, right? There's so many guys who want the ball in their hands and who are effective with the ball in their hands. When it ends up Boogie with Quinn Cook and Sean Livingston and Clay, you know, that's an offense where you can get those guys moving around and run the offense through Boogie on the bench. The texter said, I can't believe it took them that long to figure it out. And I think I feel similarly, but I do think sometimes we underestimate. It's not that they didn't think of it. It's that actually finding a way to implement it is hard when you're trying to work Boogie in and figure out who he plays well with and juggle minutes and all that stuff.
Remember one of the main storylines, the first half of KD's first year with the Warriors? It was that maybe they were being too unselfish, you know, and you heard that. Well, that's a great problem to have. Kerr would say that. But the suggestion was that they were going out of their way, and Steph in particular, they were, we got to get KD touches. We got to make him comfortable. We got to make him feel part of it. And they kind of, rather than run it through him, they forced it through him to a certain degree. Now, look, they're so good that it's not exactly a negative that you're trying to get Kevin Durant in the basketball as frequently as possible. But I think, and I actually heard Iguodala say this, and this was in, was it a week or 2 weeks ago when Iguodala said that Curry is still underrated?
That was very recent.
It was a while ago. Right?
No, it was recently.
Okay, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But that was an interesting, you know, look at it for me, because I think that was him kind of saying, confirming what I'm saying. It's just they were just forcing the ball to DeMarcus, and he suggested, I forget the words, but Iggy, he mentioned KD by name and said it's kind of what we were doing with KD. He didn't make a time reference, but I'm assuming it was the first half of the first season of KD. Because that was a storyline. Were they going too far out of their way? Are they being too unselfish?
I think that was part of what happened early with DeMarcus, definitely. Mm-hmm. That they were forcing the post stuff and kind of, you know, you don't force him, but encouraging him to shoot. And yeah. His game is more egalitarian than that. He'll get his shots. But DeMarcus Cousins, not unlike when they finally settled in with Durant, he wants to make the right basketball play.
Right.
And I think so fundamentally does KD. 562 texter says, you say if they play poorly with KD and good without him, then we can say they're better without him. That's what just happened. They have played poorly with him before he went down. They've played poorly with him since he's been a human pouting machine.
And you didn't say they're better
without him. I didn't say that. What I said was, when, not if, but when they play poorly with KD, then yes, they can have a game without him where they play better. But that's a one-game sample size. Overwhelmingly, they are better with him. And more importantly, clearly, the best version of this Warriors team includes Kevin Durant. To suggest that the best possibility is for Durant to be injured or not available is insane. The best possibility is for them to play that way with Durant.
Right.
And I certainly think they are more than capable of playing that way with Durant, even if the last 2 weeks before he got hurt didn't look like that.
If they're playing poorly with Kevin Durant, it's usually because the ball is stopping with Kevin Durant. That's the Warriors at their worst. It's
isn't
a great
usually
luxury to have when the shot clock is down to 5 seconds. He's the one guy that we know for sure can get his own shot off.
All right, here's a question I would ask you and the people, because I disagree with what you just said. Is it really that more often than not when the Warriors play poorly with Kevin Durant, it's because of something Kevin Durant is doing or something they're doing with Kevin Durant? Or is it really just that more often than not over the course of this entire season, when they play poorly, it's because nobody seems to really be that focused or locked in?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly what the
Warriors
are telling us.
Is that Kevin Durant's fault? What do you mean telling us? I'm seeing that. Are you not seeing that?
To a degree,
when you watch them come out and have 10 consecutive losing first quarters, do you see a team that's ready to go at tip?
Obviously not.
Okay. And is that because they're giving it to KD too much, or is it because no one's really that locked in because it's their fifth straight regular season heading for a finals?
But wouldn't you agree when the Warriors are not playing well, forget about individuals, when they're not playing well, one of the main reasons they're not playing well is because the ball stops. When the ball moves, the Warriors cannot be beaten. When the ball stops, sometimes it's out of necessity because of the shot clock, what have you, but it's clear when the ball stops, which is why DeMarcus is so great in the post, because he makes his decisions quickly. He doesn't, you know, take a few dribbles and look over his shoulder. He already knows what's going on behind him, and he's cognizant of this ball needs to go somewhere else as quick as possible.
Actually, one of the things about KD that people don't talk about enough, or I would argue utilize enough, although you see it more and more lately, he doesn't do great with double teams.
Uh-uh.
He turns it over a lot. If there's a strong, quick double team, you can force turnovers on Kevin Durant. That being said, I like this text from a 925. That first year with KD, they also got to playing their best ball when he was out late in the regular season. Then he seamlessly came back in, and they were unbeatable, 16-1 in the playoffs. So I ask you, Warrior fan, is that what we're about to get? Is this surge of better-looking, better-vibing basketball without Kevin Durant just what happens without Kevin Durant? Or, when he returns, whenever that is, which is probably tomorrow, when Kevin Durant returns, will he seamlessly work into what has happened over the last two games where the Warriors are moving the ball more, seem to be having more fun? Or do you think Kevin Durant somehow sucks the fun back out of it? 888-957-9570 is the phone number. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795.
Great question, by the way.
Oh, thank you. We got a lot of them. We also got Mark Medina coming up at 1:15. Warriors beat writer for the San Jose Mercury News and Bang Bay Area News Group.
Yes.
Also, Robert Mays talking a little football offseason at 2:15. We will get into Niners and Raiders and what has happened in the offseason so far in the NFL. But right now, you tell us, when Kevin Durant comes back, does the sourness come back? Does the bad vibe come back?
I like the way you put it the first time. Does he suck the fun out of it?
Or does he just hop into the fun and everything's great from here on out? I want your answer when we come back, Michael Urban. I want your answer on the phones and the text line. 888-957-9570 is the phone. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Back in a flash with Urban and Kolsky.
Now, back to Kolsky and Urban.
What happened here?
What are we doing musically? What are we doing musically? Are we on the air right now?
Goodness gracious. That's Gabe
MTV,
Osler.
MTV, 1999.
Producer Gabe Osler at Orinda's Finest on Twitter. If you want to. But please follow for mediocre 90s music recommendations.
This was on every mixtape that Gabe made for every one of his girlfriends in high school.
It feels a little, frankly, it feels like it would have been his girlfriends in grade school. That's my era. Isn't it? When did that come out?
Yeah, that's your era.
That feels more like my childhood than Gabe's embryonic stage.
Well, maybe the great Scott Osler listens to this music and passed it down to his kid.
We got a couple of great texts here. From the 510. Without KD, there's no security blanket. And the unparalleled confidence to outshoot any opponent, that's why the team has played several games recently with more focus over 48 minutes. It's called appropriate fear, according to Steve Kerr. And yeah, that's something Kerr talks about a lot. And maybe that is part of it. Maybe there's more of that appropriate fear when Kevin's not out there. And here's a very long text.
Can I read that one? Is it the one from the 925?
No.
Okay. I've got one after you're done.
Okay.
Good one.
And I actually think this 415 texter has gotten as close to the mark in terms of what I believe as anyone. And it says this. I don't think Kevin ever sucked the fun out of it. If we could go back to the beginning of the season when Kevin and Curry seemed to be vibing and Kevin was playing more in the flow of the offense, the Warriors were looking great. 10-1 to start the season, guys. Remember that? But then there were injuries, and the flow seemed to have stopped when the injuries came along, notably Curry's, but then Draymond, and then Kevin and Klay had to be the two to take over. After that point, the Warriors never really got back to how they originally started off, with Kevin playing more in the flow of the offense, and that's when everyone seemed to be having what appears to be more fun. I think that is what has happened here. I don't think it's anyone's fault. I think they got out of the flow that benefited them, and they haven't found a way to get back into it. And I think part of the reason it was so hard to get back into it is because it is a lot of basketball over the last 5 years, and people are tired, and people are sick of each other. But ultimately, I don't think it's a sign of any real rot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just they had to find the flow again, and hopefully now they have.
First off, amazing that you were able to piece that text together, because it was, how many was that, six different ones?
Yeah, they come in weird sometimes if they get long, but I figured it out.
Well done. I think if the audience saw the degree of difficulty, they would be similarly impressed. Mine only has two fields in it. Kevin Durant, this is 925, or is it 650?
You tell me.
Kevin Durant is the one friend who's a little too sensitive.
Oh, that's 650.
So everyone has to walk on eggshells around him, and boom, all the fun sucked out. No one is conscious of this either, but they're all trying to get him to sign back again.
Eh.
The last part I could do without, but the first part might have a little bit of validity.
I don't have a problem with sensitivity. Let's go to Tish in Hercules.
Hi.
Hi, Tish.
I'm actually in Hercules, so my reception might not be that good. But I don't buy that everybody's walking around on eggshells with KD because they're all grown men. They're all competitive.
Agreed.
And they have mutual respect. And they went and got KD to come join them.
That's
so
right.
I think this is just a product of our making something up.
Well said,
but
Tish.
What I wanted to say is, you know, what you just read about 2 texts ago where you said Kerr said there's a reasonable amount of fear built in, so everybody's playing better. I think, well, it's not my original thought. Somebody earlier today called in and said maybe this is Kerr's clever strategy to hold KD out longer than he needs to be held out to make everybody else get on their game so that when we get close to playoffs and he comes back, now they're running like a well-oiled machine like they were in the first few games of the season. Because when you look at KD's stats, he's quietly consistent. He's pretty consistent throughout, but he doesn't do flashy stuff all the time, so he doesn't get the big cheers and whatnot, and that's part of what my problem is with the games. We don't cheer for him when he gets the 2, even though the 2 is what used to be the basis for winning. You know, we only cheer for the 3s. But he's quietly consistent, and I think he's such an integral part of our success, and I hope he stays. And I really do think he's going to stay.
Tish, do you really pick up, you feel like the fans are not cheering for Durant the way they are the, if you will, the homegrown guys?
Well, not only Durant, I feel foolishly that fans don't cheer for 2s. Because I'm always sitting there in my row 20 seat yelling, every point is a point. Just get 2. Because how many times do we have a wasted possession because somebody throws a 3? Even not just Draymond, but somebody throws a 3 from way out, but nobody's under the basket to make it into a 2. You know, if we only remembered, like back in my day, when 2 got you a win, you know, we make sure we get those 2s. And the crowd goes crazy all around me when somebody gets a 3, but when somebody gets an integral 2, nobody's cheering. And I think that's what KD normally does. He gets in and gets those points. Consistently. Look at his stats. And yet, people don't seem to appreciate what he's doing consistently.
Yeah. Tish, I think you're absolutely right. I'm not sure it's quite as simple as nobody cheers for 2s, because they cheer for dunks.
Remember, Mark.
But you know what they don't love is
Mark
the mid-range.
Jackson said Steph ruined the game.
Whatever. We don't have time to get into the dumb stuff that Mark Jackson has said, but I do think that's real. Kevin Durant's strength, or certainly, I shouldn't say that. Kevin Durant's strength is everything. One of his greatest strengths is the mid-range game.
Yep.
And that is the least appreciated thing in basketball right now. And part of that lack of appreciation, I think the thing that has been lost is that just because 3 is worth more than 2 doesn't mean every 3 is a better shot than every 2. And if you can be as efficient as Kevin Durant, that's still a good shot, the mid-range shot. It's just most people aren't.
Totally. I agree with everything you're saying, but answer me this. When Sean Livingston, who is exceptional with mid-range, when he's working in mid-range and hits a turnaround 17-footer, the fans go nuts for it. But they don't get as excited for Durant's 17-footer? Why would that be, do you think? Because I think there's truth to it.
I mean, I think it's all about expectations.
Is
right?
it because just that's what Sean does? And
well, and frankly, it just you get used to it. You start to take a Kevin Durant for granted.
Right.
I think this 650 texter is right as well, though. Ultimately, what KD's absence has showed us is that it still is and always will be Curry's team. And again, that doesn't mean they're better without KD, but it does mean they'll be okay if he leaves. And also, was it Robin who said this before? I think it was Robin who made the point that all this unpleasantness surrounding Kevin Durant is all based on the fact that he's not signed past this year.
Right.
So if he does decide to re-sign, if it's a multi-year deal, hopefully a lot of this stuff goes away. I think it would. I think so much of Kevin's approach to handling media this year has to do with his own personal feelings about a really difficult decision he has in front of him. And I think some of he's doing some projecting, frankly. I think he feels like there's more criticism of his adult decision-making process than actually exists.
That's 100% true.
So I do think a lot of it would go away if he re-signed. So I'm not saying you don't want him back. I think you do want him back. But I will say this. If I was given the option, I shouldn't say this as a Warrior, but as me, Matt Kolsky, doing sports radio, if I had the option between KD back on a one-year deal again and no KD, I'm taking no KD.
I was just going to ask you, what would the, like, if Rich Paul goes to them and suggests another 1-1,
no.
Do you think Lakeham says, we're not doing that?
I don't know.
Not doing it again.
I think Lakeham probably would do it again, but I would not. Let's go to Marion in Pleasanton. What's up, Marion?
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Good.
Ladies representing today. I like it.
So you know what, Matt? I was going to say a whole bunch of different stuff, but I've been listening to the calls. But let me just say one thing. I don't know why we're demanding that KD give up his bargaining rights to sign a contract now. Because after the season, a lot of people are going to vie for his money, which is going to put money that he...
Marion, he can't do it now. No one's saying that. He can't do it now, and there'd be no reason for him to do it now. I'm saying at the end of the season, when he's a free agent, if he chooses to come back, I would only be interested if he's willing to sign a multi-year deal.
And that's what he's looking for. He said it himself.
Correct.
He said it himself. He goes, everybody's gotten their money. Now it's time for me to get mine.
Yep. And he did it right.
Let me tell you.
To your point, he did it the right way. Hold on. We'll keep Marion there. He specifically set himself up for this payday. Now, it may have led to more controversy over his ultimate destination than he wanted, but this was the plan all along, and it's working. He's going to get a ton of money, and he deserves it.
And I think some Warriors fans are forgetting that what he did a couple of times really helped the Warriors.
Yes, he also took less money to be here originally. Marion, back to you.
Okay, so my original point and the reason why I called was I want to talk about last Sunday's game. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Warriors would have won that game against Phoenix because everybody was just like, as KD said at the end of the game, playing stupid ball, and he was the only one that was just taking it to the court, you know, and just playing the game until he got hurt. The Warriors would have won because he would have willed them to win. But he got hurt, and then, like you said, they just didn't care.
I think that's a great point about KD. And that's part of the thing that I think people are reacting, but not the right way to, which is, part of this is sometimes you have a bad game and KD can save you. And sometimes it's not a bad game because he's there. It's just a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
And he saves your ass. So I agree. He was locked in Phoenix. And when he went out, they kicked the ball around the court, turned it over, and bungled away a game that it wasn't like they bungled it in the first half so badly that they weren't in it. They were in it, in fact, ahead, I believe, in the last 5 minutes of that game against Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're ahead against Phoenix in the last 5 minutes and you're the Warriors, there's no excuse for losing.
It's a game you got to close out.
And I'm with Marion. KD was ready to close it out, and the other guys kicked it off when he got hurt. So let's just pump the brakes a little bit on the better without KD thing. And as I say that, let's go to Mike in Oakland, who thinks the Warriors are better without KD. What's up, Mike?
Okay, this is how I feel about KD. There's two sides of KD. You got the hero KD, and then you got the unselfish KD. When the hero KD shows up, the Warriors don't play well at all. It's a real close game, and he can suck the fun out. And let me tell you what I mean by that. He's the only one touching the ball. Nobody else is touching the ball. He's not sharing. He's just coming down firing. So then when somebody else gets the ball, they haven't seen it all day. It feels like a beach ball. That's the hero now. The unselfish part of him is when he's engaged and he's passing the ball and he's making plays, then the team is a better team altogether, and they got him who's got nothing but ice water in his veins, the killer. You know, so when he's doing that, that's when the Warriors are at their best. So it depends on what KD shows up that night. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I think that's more or less what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
When the texter didn't quite understand that, yeah, sometimes they don't play well with KD, but that's them not playing well with KD. That's not proof they're better without KD.
Yeah, that's not KD making them play poorly.
Right. Unquestionably, the best version of the Warriors includes Kevin Durant. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. 816, I don't know if this is a typo or a deliberate insult, but says Kevin, Kyrie, and Westbrook are so unhappy all of the time. Now Durant said back when he signed here that he loved the way this team plays together and they're all having fun and he just loves playing ball. Kevin wants somebody to beg him to stay when, of course, everybody wants him to stay. But if he didn't want people to keep asking him about free agency, then he should have just signed already, or at least say, as soon as I can sign, I am, as long as they still will have me. But stop looking and acting like you're not having fun. I am wary of that last part.
Yeah.
Because
I was with him till that last part.
Well, I'm wary of a lot of it, but I'm starting with the last part because I really, in the same way, I think it's very dangerous and not effective to make judgments and guesses about the character of celebrities. I think it's equally, I don't know what the word is exactly, not irresponsible because who cares, but likely to be inaccurate to guess the mood or feeling. For all you know, Kevin Durant is smiling 22 and a half hours a day. You know, and it's just, I do. Now, Kevin has gone particularly far in the direction of expressing dissatisfaction. So I'm not saying it's totally unfair to make judgments based on what you see. But this idea that even when the commissioner said it, I didn't love it. Man, our players are really unhappy, and I think it's social media. I don't buy that. I just think we're seeing more of everything. Same way I don't buy there's more racism in America than there used to be. There's just more avenues to express it. I don't believe that NBA players at large, oh God, well, they got to look at social media and see what people are saying about them. They must be miserable all the time now. And Adam Silver, I think we got a real problem here. No. And people say that about millennials at large as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, these kids with the facing the cell phone all day. They're miserable.
All you millennials.
I don't think that's that reasonable. It's things are different. Yes, things are different. But are people at large unhappier? I don't think so. Are people at large meaner or trollier? No. It's just easier to troll you because the internet exists. But there were always trolls. There were always human beings are more or less the same in my view. The avenues of expression have changed. But just the statement, KD, Kyrie, and Westbrook all seem miserable all the time. I am pretty sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.